If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 3. A familiar portion. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. John chapter 3, just verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world from sin. That's what Christmas is all about, the birth of Jesus. For God so loved the world. Let's go to prayer as we come to God's word, shall we? Father, once again, as we celebrate Christmas, as we think about your love, as we think about your plan, we want to say thank you. And Lord, as we consider some scripture this morning, Lord, again, may our hearts be enlightened by your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Once again, in case I missed you, or miss you later on, Merry Christmas, everyone. I suspect that by now, most of you have had the opportunity to open your presents. Some of you last night, some of you maybe this morning before church. So this morning, as we're thinking about Christmas gifts, it seemed appropriate to think about God's gift to the world, eternal life through Jesus Christ. Concerning this gift, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." For the last month or so, many have been concerned about choosing just the right Christmas gift to give to the special people in their lives. As you think about back over all the gifts that you have received, have you ever received an indescribable gift? What kind of gift would really be called indescribable? Would it be a gift that she opened and said, "This is beautiful. It's something I've always wanted. What is it?" Or maybe it would be a gift that carries a lot of emotional feelings with it. It is given to you by someone very special, and it was a complete surprise when he opened it. You'll treasure it always because of the memories that it brings. Would that make it an indescribable gift? Or maybe it'd be a gift that you cared so little about, you wouldn't even bother to find words to describe it. What really is an indescribable gift? Paul gave four reasons that we could call the gift of Jesus Christ and eternal life indescribable. The first reason that Paul called the gift of Jesus indescribable is because of Jesus' nature. Jesus' nature. How does one really describe Jesus? What words would you choose? Turn back to some familiar ones. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Beginning in verse 20. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. But after Joseph had considered this, that is getting rid of Mary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the prophet had said through, what the Lord had said through a prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. How does one describe a baby born of a virgin? How do you describe God with us? John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Earlier in John 1:1, John wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man. How do you describe God in flesh? Walking, living on earth, reaching out to those that are in need of healing, spiritually and physically. How does one describe an omniscient God? A God who has all knowledge when all we have is a limited knowledge. How do you describe an omnipotent God? A God who is all-powerful. How does one describe eternal? How do you describe the indescribable? The Bible tells us we can't. We just call it indescribable. It can't be done. Words just aren't adequate. But many men, people throughout the years, have tried to describe Jesus. In AD 325, the Council of Nicaea, a gathering of all the brilliant religious minds of the day, tried. Some may remember their description, but for those that don't know, here's the description from the Nicene Creed. The one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, begotten of the Father, the only begotten, that is, of the essence of the Father, God of God, light of lights, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. You get all that? You understand it? I don't. And I really wonder if really anybody really does. This is learned man's attempt to describe the indescribable. Even when the greatest minds come together and use the most immense vocabularies, they can't adequately describe the nature of Jesus. He was and is one of a kind. God and man. God incarnate. This is indescribable. Another reason that the Bible calls the gift of Jesus indescribable is because of Jesus' purpose in coming to the earth. In Luke 2:11, the angel told the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." In the midst of all the political correctness around us today, Christmas is a day set aside to celebrate the fact that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to save us. God saw that mankind needed saving. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." When God looked down at the world, he saw, he knew, that our greatest need was not for more wealth, or better schools, or a better welfare system, or universal peace. Man's greatest need was for a Savior. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There'll never be peace on earth until men have been lifted out of their sins, their hearts changed, and their way of thinking changed. This can only happen when the Savior has come into their lives. Man's greatest need is to be saved from the eternal punishment of hell. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Begin in verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 18. Peter wrote, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake." How can he describe that? How can he put into words what God accomplished when he sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for the sins of the world? God's gift, Jesus Christ, is indescribable because of his nature, because of his purpose in coming to earth, and third, because of the grace for which Jesus was given. Because of the grace by which Jesus was given. Think about it. To whom do you give Christmas presents? Basically, you give them to people who have some kind of a claim on you. You give them to your husband or wife because of that relationship. You give gifts to your children because they're your children. You give gifts to your grandchildren because they're your grandchildren. We buy gifts for family members because they're family. If you give a gift to someone who's not family, it might be because they bought you a gift last year and you didn't. So now you owe them a gift. And then the story goes on. We sometimes give gifts to people because they do something special for us. Many give gifts to feed the hungry or clothe those who need clothes or to take care of the homeless. They give because deep down inside, they know they have a debt to humanity. There's a feeling of obligation to them. This is what makes God's gift so special, indescribable. He doesn't owe anyone anything. In fact, as sinners, We were at constant rebellion against him and his will for our lives. Romans 8:7 says, "The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so." Turn to Romans this time. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning of verse 6. Romans chapter 5, beginning verse 6. We read, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, at enmity with God, Christ died for us. Even though we were enemies of God, Christ died for us." God gave this gift, not because he felt obligated to give a gift, because his grace and his love are so overwhelming. Turn back a page or two to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, beginning verse 22. Romans 3, beginning verse 22. We read, "This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." The word grace means to give something that is not deserved. This gift of eternal life from God is a gift of grace. It's not deserved by any stretch of the imagination. Ephesians 2:9 says, "For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." As we think about the manger of Bethlehem, as we think about the baby Jesus, we need to remember that he is a gift of grace, God's grace. We don't deserve him or his gift. We don't deserve God's gift of Jesus. There's no words to adequately describe God's grace towards us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thinking even more on gifts, when you received the gifts that were purchased for you by loved ones, was your life changed? When you opened any of your presents this Christmas, was your life changed in any significant way? Did they make you any different? Or will you be the same as you've always been? But what happens when you receive God's gift? The Bible teaches that when a person believes in Jesus, the indescribable gift of God, that person will never be the same again because of how Jesus affects his life. This is the fourth reason that Jesus is called the indescribable gift, because of his effect on those who accept God's gift, because of Jesus' effect on believers. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." The effects, really, of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and eternal life are many. First and foremost, believers are forgiven of their sins. The first effect of Jesus coming into one's life as they make him their Lord and Savior is that they're forgiven of their sins. Colossians 2 verse 13 says, "When you are dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins." In Isaiah 42:23-25, God said, "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sakes and remembers your sins no more." The psalmist wrote in Psalm 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Then 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." As Ephesians 4:24 says, "We can now put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Because sins are forgiven, believers are righteous and holy in God's sight. A second effect of Jesus becoming one's Lord and Savior is that believers are adopted into God's family. Believers are adopted into God's family. Galatians 4:7 says, "So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. In Romans 8:17, Paul wrote, "If we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." Believers are brothers and sisters in God's family because we have accepted His indescribable gift. Every Christian is a part of the family of God. Third, when one accepts Jesus, he receives the gift of the Holy Spirit to live within him. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God?" 1 John 4:13 says, "We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit." Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 26. John 14, verse 26. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told the disciples, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Accepting God's indescribable gift includes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who will guide, counsel, protect, give strength and peace and inner joy to every believer. A fourth effect of God's gift is His peace. Believers have God's peace. Peace with God. And as Philippians 4:7 says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding." This allows Christians to cope with everyday situations, as well as those times of extreme trouble or difficulty. We have God's peace. We know that God's got this. And finally, because of God's indescribable gift, every believer has a mansion in heaven, a heavenly mansion, waiting for him or her. This heavenly home will last for all eternity. And that's indescribable too. And these are just a few of the effects or changes that occur when one receives or accepts God's indescribable gift. Four reasons that Jesus is called indescribable: because of his nature. Jesus was fully God and fully man. Because of Jesus' purpose in coming to earth, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Third, because of the grace by which Jesus was given. No one deserves God's gift of Jesus. And then because of Jesus' effect on believers. Believers are forgiven of their sins. Believers are adopted into God's family. Believers receive the Holy Spirit. They have God's peace. And they have a heavenly mansion just waiting for them. There's no way we or anyone else can describe God's gift to us, Jesus Christ. Better theologians, better linguists than I or you have tried and failed. The Apostle Paul considered Jesus and all he has done. And then he wrote in Ephesians 3, verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." This is what we need to do this Christmas day, really every day. We need to fall on our knees and thank God for his indescribable gift. When God looked down on this troubled, confused, sinful world some 2,000 years ago, he saw people looking for peace, looking for the meaning of true life. He wanted to communicate with them and tell them of his love. But if he came down as the Almighty Jehovah God, he would have scared everyone, just as he did back in Moses' time at Mount Sinai. If he'd spoken from the sky, from the clouds, people would have heard the thunder of his voice and probably missed the words that he spoke. So as an infinite wisdom, God sent a baby. Babies don't frighten people. Babies are tender, soft, helpless. This way, God could show his love in an understandable way to mankind. So when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. This is indescribable. But the good news is, you don't have to be able to describe him to accept him. You just have to make Jesus your Lord and Savior and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you and to change you. This Christmas day, take some time to get away from all the hustle and bustle. Take time to thank God for his indescribable gift. And then tell someone else about your indescribable gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Let's pray. Father, once again, we want to thank you for your love. We want to thank you for this indescribable gift. And Lord, I pray that just as with regular Christmas gifts, if we get something that's really special, we want to tell everyone. Lord, may we be quick as Christians to tell everyone of our indescribable gift. And Lord, may we bring praise and honor to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.